ever heard a song that you think is really shit? A song that makes you wonder how did that become a hit? Sometimes you need to hear a discussion about that in regular podcast format. Well, there's a lot of bad songs that we're gonna attack. 1001 steamy piles of crap. I'm telling you the truth, you know that we don't lie. Here's 1001 songs that make you wanna die. Oh,
and now here's your hosts, Zav, Bebo, Dan, and Gypsy.
This is 1001 Songs That Make You Wanna Die, the podcast where we discuss doctor prescribed sexual harassment. Specifically, that's what our whole podcast is set up to do. We've taken a real sharp turn. We're going down that bloody alley now. We are doing Bad Case of Loving You, brackets, doctor, because it needs to be longer, by Robert Palmer.
Doctor, give me the news. I got it.
Okay. Yes, we are. Now, Mad Dog's here. He's back. How you going, Mad Dog?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Bevo's here as always.
Yep.
Trusty beverage.
Yep.
We have a special guest with us, Mr. James Colley. How are you going, mate?
Oh, got a bad case of loving you, but other than that,
I've heard you can take ivermectin for that.
Lies. When I was messaging you about coming on the podcast, it's like, well, all right, do you want to pick a song that you want to do? And it was so quick. The Bad Case of Loving You, Doctor, that's the first thing that comes to my head, but let me think about it. And then it was like a couple of days later, I'm like, have you thought about it? You're like, that's the song. I can't go past that song.
Can I say, honest to God, the tough decision for me was I also hate Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love. So it was really, which of his medical-themed fucking shit rock songs did we want to go down?
Yeah. There's also, my favorite thing is Simply Irresistible. It's got like the sound effects of a sword being sheathed.
Yeah.
Simply Irresistible.
I completely forgot about that until just then. Okay.
Listen to it again. Just imagine someone sheathing a sword every time.
Can we save basically any Robert Palmer song for James to come on and do just like...
Let's do the trilogy.
With the trilogy, yeah. Now, James is like legit, unlike all of us. This guy, you go on his CV and you have like 7,000 jobs. I have no idea how you're standing here talking to us. But,
well, none of them pay well, so.
Okay. Right. Well, yeah, I'll give you a cut of the, 25 cents we got from sponsorship this week. So, you're a writer for Gruen, for the new show Question Everything, also The Weekly with Charlie Pickering, and...
Oh, mate, sorry, I'm head writer for all of those, but that's fine.
You be good.
I'm so embarrassed.
What's that? Oh, sorry. I just swung my dick all the way through the show.
Head writer. To be fair, I don't know how many writers there are. So, you know.
Often two. So
it's okay.
It's you're some like dude's boss.
Ultimate power couple.
Yeah. There's me and then whoever fixes my shit. Yeah.
There's me and my inferior.
Yeah. Now, when I was looking, I ended up on your website and I'm like, what's these fucking books that he's written here? And then I came across Sam Thaiday's autobiography, Tries, Lies, and Meat Pies.
Yeah.
How the fuck did that come about?
It's do you know what? It's a hell of a thing. It was a strange move for me personally. Like I'm a diehard rugby league fan, so when this came up, they honestly the process of it was they're like, oh, we've got a guy in the NRL, he's retiring. He wants someone to help on his book. His retirement hadn't been announced yet. And they are saying, we need you to sign on first and then we'll tell you who he is.
No shit,
and
really?
I said, no criminal charges, and they said no criminal charges. I'm like, I'm in. All right, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that could have gone real bad.
There were a couple of retirements around that time that I did not want any part of.
Okay. Just like, so how many people did you rape? Yeah. Yeah.
That's the NRL Integrity Unit has a lot to answer for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 100%. A clicker.
That's like, and but I was brought into that. It was actually really fun. Sam's an absolute treat.
He seems like an absolute mad dog for a filthy Queenslander.
That's right.
Do you know what? That was a lot. And because he knew I was a proud New South Welshman.
Yeah.
Because he put me there as like, he knew I was a Penrith fan. He knew I was a Blue.
Okay.
He would go into incredible detail anytime it went into how good it felt to fuck the Blues. he would just grind his heel in every time he got to describe that.
It's like a Mark Twain story. He's just like so descriptive. There's just, he's painting pictures of words of the humiliation he caused for New South Wales. Fucking hell.
And all the way through, I've been dropping stuff through the book. Like, if you pay a close eye through, there'll be any time he mentions, like, the NRL teams for that year, he'll be like, oh, Panthers had a good squad. They often didn't. They would go, like, 18-8.
Yeah. It's like when Mark Gower played for them, maybe. And you also wrote for the ARIA Awards in 2019 mm-hmm. and 2020. What do you have to write for the ARIA Awards?
So, the ARIA Awards is what you're doing is whenever anyone is on stage, you're writing like the links, the like here's what's coming up, here's like the thing the voiceover person says as you're going through. A lot of it's just admin, but you're also given like we're putting, for example, one that I had to put together, you are putting Peking Duck on stage with Aggro. Can you write a sketch that Peking Duck and Aggro can do together?
Shit writes itself.
Of course.
Did you go, how racist can Aggro be?
That's my first question every job I pick up. The good thing about that, though, whenever you're doing any of these performances, any award show you work on, you will spend all day meticulously working on a sketch, and then the person performing it is always too drunk by the time their segment comes up that they'll be like, you know what, I'll wing it.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about that.
It's like, I still get paid, right? I still get paid. Yeah. And my favorite fact, and I'm saying it's fact, is your Instagram profile that says you are a 5-time NBA champion.
Mad.
Do you know what? My wife has much more of a public profile than me, and when she announced we're having a baby, and when she announced her pregnancy, some Channel 9 website, like one of those websites called, I think it was called like Now to Love or something, just clearly skimmed my bio and took that as fact. She does all these things. James Colley is a 5-time NBA champion. I'm like, yes, done. That's confirmed. Pop it on Wikipedia. That's true now.
It's on there. Yeah. Hey, someone printed it.
Yeah.
It's just like, so who did you win these championships with? Who didn't I win them with? It's
a bit of a journey, man. Remember when San Antonio had that fucking 6-0 fat shooting guy that shot about 12% from the field? That was me.
It wasn't Andrew Gaze.
Jordan, Pippen, Collie. You've never heard of that combination?
Yeah. Exactly. They cut me out of the last dance. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, fuckers. Yeah,
it was me and Aggro, and we were both giving some really great insight.
I do like that Aggro pops up on like social, he's on TikTok or Instagram, just going like, here is the crazy shit on Australian children's television from the 90s. And you go like, fuck, everyone watched Aggro, and it was so hectic, some of the shit that Aggro
forming, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Bring it back,
It's incredible that he made it to the NBA between all the time he was spending sexually assaulting.
Yeah. Aggro.
Yeah, Aggro.
Yeah. The hands not Collie. Puppet.
I'm not. The hands sorry. Puppet. I'm talking about Aggro.
That's pretty clearly on the record.
Yeah.
I just saw your face like, are you talking about me?
Just like, don't print that. Don't print that. 9 love. Okay, so let's get into the lyrics here of Robert Palmer's hit song, Bad Case of Loving You. Now, I'm going to give you the intro first because it's some pretty deep stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to include a lot of conversation around it. It goes, whoa!
He just saw a ghost. He was about to start recording. He's like, all right, guys, we'll do one take. All right, ready?
Keep it. That was good.
He's locked up to the recording studio on his horse.
Oh, boy.
We are there.
Easy, partner.
It's like, damn it, Robert, we've been waiting 3 days for you to get here. Can't you fucking drive the car next time? It's like, Palmer only does horse.
Where's your hitching post?
All right, that's it. They've separated that entire section as the intro of the song. Now let's get into the first verse. It says, "A hot summer night fell like a net."
Can I pause you there?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well,
please save your what the fucks for the end of the verse.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, no. I agree, 100%.
Oh, I agree as well. But
it says,
we've got many fucks to what?
I've got to find my baby yet. I need you to soothe my head, turn my blue heart to red.
All right, continue.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What, you have you never had a summer night fall on you like a net? I've seen heaps of crazy people in the street rolling around screaming like they're trapped in a net. Could have been amphetamines, but I don't know. Yeah,
it's a real like peek behind the curtain of that's the kind of line that usually comes in when you're trying to sneak a good rhyme somewhere else.
Yeah,
but like, I've got to find my baby yet so good that he's like, well, we're keeping that, not changing a word. Now, what retroactively rhymes with yet?
He started with a lost baby.
I was going to say,
yeah.
So he's searching the net for his lost infant. Is this what's happening?
I think he's either dropped a baby like overboard, and now he's like trawling the bottom of the ocean for it. That's the only thing I can think of.
It's one of those things we used to speak about this a lot in the early days of the podcast. Like, you get your 5 year old to, you're teaching 5 year olds about metaphors and similes, and you're like, okay, so the hot summer night, what did it fall like? A net.
Yeah, I literally did this bullshit this week with homeschooling, year four homeschooling, and we were doing that, and it's like the sword, and you've got to go to something, and it's like the sword. I'm like, fuck it, say it giggled. I don't know. Just like, I'm sure we can figure out some reason why.
That's correct.
Yeah. Just that'll do.
But you can see him in the studio, can't you? Be like, okay, all right, Robert, what falls? All right, now, imagine we're in a kind of like Tarzan-like 50s cartoon. Well, a net might fall on you if you're in that situation, so everyone gets that, right?
Yeah, it's just like, it's a real common occurrence.
And otherwise, also, so this is what he's using to describe a hot summer night.
Hmm.
In what way? Yep. Like, I don't know. Look, maybe he's experienced different summers to me, but to me, when you get a hot summer night, you've already had a hot summer day. It's not like, oh, this is quite a cool day. Fuck me, the night is hot.
No, yeah.
In my experience, the sun is the hot part. That just continues.
Yeah, that's right. You would even say that a lot of the time it cools down a lot at night. Yeah.
So I'm going to preempt the chorus here, but so he's looking for his baby, who happens to be his doctor.
Yeah.
And he's made an appointment at night? What the fuck?
His heart is fucked. Yeah. His heart is blue. It is not functioning.
No. Yeah. It's
oxygenated blood. Non-oxygenated.
Yeah. He's in a lot of trouble. He's lost a baby and now his heart is stopping.
But the baby is the doctor here, isn't it, Bevo? Rubbing some Vicks on the head.
It's a Doogie Howser situation.
Yeah,
it's Doogie.
It sounds like
this is
a
Doogie
riddle.
Yeah. It is.
How could this possibly work? The baby was the doctor all along.
Yeah. It's an Agatha Christie mystery. Okay, the chorus, I guess this is a chorus. It says, "A doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I've got a bad case of loving you.
All right. Let's talk about, first of all, what is he, a newsreader or is he a doctor? She, I should say.
Yeah, I imagine this being like, this is how you got a, like an AIDS prognosis in 1979. It's like, you seem to have a case of the loving thing, you know, that one.
Give me the news, Doc. You mean the diagnosis?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Also, exactly what are you coming to me, your doctor, for? Because you already know what you have, and you know that no pill can cure it.
Yeah. So,
what purpose do I have in this relationship?
What do you want me to prescribe, Robert?
I've got this doctor that I see that's got a mug that says, "Do not confuse your Google search with my medical degree." And I think this might be in that situation there.
See, I'm calling bullshit on that instantly because there is no way those doctors know all that shit off the top of their head.
Yeah. Look, Doc, I have to admit, before I came, I did go to Dr. Google and I'm pretty sure it's a case of the loving. Can you please confirm that?
Yeah. There was a burning, there was a rash, there was a sensation around my genital area. I believe it's love.
Yeah. Does this rash look like love to you? Yeah. Yep.
Just give me a pill for it.
Oh, and while I'm here.
What do you mean, no pill?
And you're a doctor of fine art?
I teach year 10 English.
Yeah. A doctorate in journalism, maybe. Yeah. One of those doctors, you know.
For fuck's sake, I did an arts degree. What do you want? What do you want from me? Yeah. Okay. We get to the next verse, and it says, "A pretty face don't make no pretty heart. I learned that, buddy, from the start. You think I'm cute, a little bit shy. Mama, I ain't that kind of guy." Right.
There's a lot. There's a lot to get to here.
Let's unwrap it.
Firstly, nothing you have said so far has indicated, oh, he's quite shy.
Not
you
one
came
thing.
In being like, I'm fucking howling and I'm going, like, hello, doctor, I'm here to fuck you. By the way, little bit shy.
Where can I hitch this horse?
It's like you turned up on a bucking bronco, for fuck's sake. Like, what are we doing here?
Wasn't exactly a quiet entry, mate. Yeah.
He's like forcibly removed someone's heart to see if it's as pretty as their face. That doesn't sound shy to me.
Also, so the tone of this, every verse and chorus changes. So we go from being like, okay, look, this is a summer night. Hey, I need you to soothe my heart. Then we're into, hi, doctor, we're going to fuck. And now we're back to like, I like patronizing, by the way, here's what I've learned about life. And buddy, I learned that from the start, buddy. Like you fucking,
I'm not your buddy, like, guy.
Fucking, that prick that calls you buddy. Oh, you just want to punch him in the face.
It's a real like, hey, doctor, I'm in love with you, but champ, back up a bit about it.
Yeah. Just because you got a pretty face.
Yeah.
And how does mum become involved in this? Now mama's here. We've gone from baby, doctor, mama. What the? Make your mind up, Robert.
So
you know what I'm saying?
We have the baby, we have the doctor, we have the buddy, and we have the mother.
Okay, so in your expertise as writing a television show, here are our cast of characters so far in Robert Palmer's like fucking off Broadway play.
This is what we call an ensemble.
Yeah. I need one baby, one doctor.
A net falling from the ceiling in the first scene. Oh, shit, it's summer!
Just like, oh, this is quite the start. I wonder where it's going to go from here.
Exterior, city. Seems pretty cold. You don't know shit. Cut to net of heat falling.
A red hot net. And you got a crazy director that's like, I really want that net to be hot. Really hot.
Put it on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it'd be quite the play if the first like 10 minutes of it was a net falling on someone, then he fucks a doctor, tries to find his baby, and then removes someone's heart. Yeah.
Can you stick to your priorities.
So your frantic.
Your baby's missing. You're horribly ill. You're in love. And then you're going through the, but I think you've got me wrong. You think I'm cute. Firstly, no one has indicated they think you're cute in this. At no point has anyone said anything to you at all.
No. You may as well not have been here. Yeah.
Yeah. Your behavior is anything but cute, mate. I can sort your life out. Yeah.
Dubby Energy has declared war on Big Energy, who probably support ISIS. If you want an energy drink with no maltodextrin, no artificial colours, and no kickbacks that fund insurrections in the Middle East, then look no further. So head on over to dubby.gg and use the promo code 1001songs, that's the number 1001, for 10% off price of purchase. And remember, kids, if it's not Dubby, it's ISIS.
I'm sure he's going to redeem himself. Let's see what else he gets into here. He knocks another chorus out. He fucking jumps on another horse. He gives us another big whoa. Yeah, the ghost is back.
He was about to take off. He realized he had more to say.
They spent like about $30 million on a hologram for the play to make it look like there's a ghost just for that bit. Yeah.
This is what Warhorse is about. It's a stadium extravaganza to play this one song.
Yeah, the producer's like, I don't think we're going to make our money back on this one. It made more sense on paper. It made more sense on paper than it does. It says, I know you like it. You like it on top. Tell me, Mama, are you going to stop?
Shit's gone weird with Mum here. Yep.
That happened quick.
Even as like I know a lot of this is a lame sex metaphor. Even from that, this is bad. Be like even if you're like, okay, look, we're fucking, you're on top. Are you gonna stop? Like, I'm sure you'll find out.
And yeah, it's all about context in that, because it's like it's either are you gonna stop or are you gonna stop or like...
It really is how you say it. Yeah.
Are you gonna stop?
Yeah. It's like, I finished like 10 minutes ago. You're grinding on my flaccid dick. Yeah.
So what I have just told you is I have a bad case of something and no pill can cure it. Oh, now we're having sex. Like, surely.
Well, yeah. He is cute.
Well, Mama always told him he was anyway.
My mom says I'm cool. Yeah. Okay. All right, here we go. You had me down 21 to zip. Smile of Judas on your lip. Shake my fist. Knock on wood. I've got it bad and I got it good.
Oh, Lordy.
Like entering the room of Dr. Zeus here, yeah, I think. Yeah.
Sounds like a magic spell.
Again, what? I have to go back to, in what order did he write these down and then have to struggle for a rhyme for?
Yeah.
Did he have, you have me down 21 to zip? Firstly, what the fuck are we playing? There's a game now?
Yeah. It's like, when did that come out? Like, you know, are we in competition?
Like, what is 21, like, yeah, is it bad? It's one-on-one basketball and you're horribly shit at it.
He could be playing rugby and it's like someone's just scored 3 tries and it's like...
Maybe it's like that really confusing tennis scoring system where you got to win 3 games and then 6 games and then...
Could be that goal ball that they play in the Paralympics that doesn't seem to make any goddamn sense.
It's like tunnel ball or something like that from school.
Captain ball, yeah.
That does seem very Palmer. Very Palmer.
Maybe it's just blackjack and he hasn't been dealt anything yet.
Yeah, true.
Okay, you're not winning. No one has their cards yet, okay? Like, ease up.
Do you know who you remind me of? Judas Iscariot.
It's you can't go any more melodramatic than that, can you? Judas.
Do you know who you are?
Just fucking
the most horrible traitor in history.
Textbook betrayer.
Robert, you're the one that lost the baby. You lost it, not me. For fuck's sake.
See, I'm reading this one, and it sounds to me as like you had me down 21 to zip. Smile of Judas on your lip. Eye of Newt and worm of tongue. I'll grind your bones to make my bread.
Yeah. Maybe you did pull this straight out of the Bible. I don't know. It's possible, oh, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I think
this is Romans 24:12.
Yeah.
Be he alive or be he dead.
Yeah. It used to go, apothecary, apothecary, give me the tidings.
Oh, yay. And we all shall knock on wood. And yay. They got it bad and got it good.
Yeah. That's the thing is, this is how he wraps it up. Like, this is how he brings the song home. Because all we get is a chorus after that. So
is shake my fist, knock on wood. He's wanking there, right? Is that what he's trying to put there?
I can only assume so, because she's
rode off into the sunset, and he's like, Judas,
and then like Dylan before him has to go electric.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, wanking makes sense because I mean he's already rooted his mum in the last section.
Can't go back to the doctors.
I'm surprised he's still got any left in the tank after mum.
Mate, Robert Palmer's fucking good to go at any time.
Oh, that's it. Palmer, that's why.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not just a clever name. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Clues in the title.
There you go. This is hot.
This podcast is sponsored by Ghetto Bird Studio. Do you write music? Do you want people to hear it? Do you want your music to sound less shit than it does right now? If you answered yes to these questions, then you should record your music at Ghetto Bird Studio. We record all types of music. Rap, rock, hip-hop, jazz, jazz fusion, metal, electro, even country. We can't promise that your music won't be shit, but we can promise to make it sound less shit. Here's a before and after.
Rub my body and spank my ass.
Rub my body and spank my ass.
Contact us now at ghettobirdstudio.com.au.
Tell these haters.
Non-stop music.
Okay, this song was released June 1979. Now, it's written by Moon Martin.
Max Martin's dad.
Moon.
Yeah, no, it's not fucking Max Martin's dad. Moon Martin. Moon Martin, he recorded and released it 1 year before Robert Palmer. So he released it in 78. Palmer came out with it in 79.
Oh, Palmer perfected it, you know.
Yeah. Can you, like, there has been like the rare occurrence of a cover song coming out really quickly after the original. The main one I think of is the Macarena, where you had Los Del Rio's Macarena, and then you had Los Del Ross Macarena.
I would love if Robert Palmer tried to play us off here. Oh, no, this isn't a cover. This is just, this happened to me as well. It's the same situation.
It's pure coincidence. Oh. Yeah.
Same diagnosis.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it weird? We both had the same thought. Yeah.
Same diagnosis. Yeah. Same we, doctor.
We same got the mom. Same GP. Yeah.
Like, Moon's in there being like, fuck, this rash is everywhere. And then, like, he leaves and Robert comes in. He's like, this rash is everywhere. It's like, fuck, you wouldn't believe it. Moon was just here, got the exact same thing. Yeah.
Do you know what? I reckon the problem's the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a common thread,
we're figuring
it
out. We've fucking cracked the code. So Moon Martin, his original recording of it did not enter any charts whatsoever.
Mm.
Any charts. So it was a flop.
Have the Rob factor.
No, but do you want to... I looked this up. How the fuck did he get the name Moon? It's a nickname. He wasn't born with it.
It was something he used to do to his doctor.
it's like, I'm not a proctologist. It's like, just look at it. Look at it.
Please look. Look.
Yeah. And this is the shittest reason ever to be called Moon. He got the nickname Moon because all of his songs had the word moon in the lyrics.
Mm.
That is shit.
That's why I call Mumford & Sons Heart and Hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Fucking spot on.
Nailed it.
The more you think about it, you're going like, hold on. No, that one's got it. That one's got it. Fucking hell.
They're just when Mumford and Sons are writing songs, they just bring up a whiteboard and they write Heart and Hand in the middle and then they just spread out.
Let's go from there. Let's map this
song.
We're
mind mapping this. We're mind mapping this.
Yeah.
That's in permanent marker in the middle and then they just whiteboard the rest of it.
So they had a custom board done up with it permanently in the middle. They've got to go out from it. He's put Moon in every single one of his lyrics. Do you reckon he was happy with the name Moon? Or so just people were just piling shit on him and being like, here's Moon fucking Martin singing about the moon again.
Oh, yeah. Let me guess, Martin, is it fucking Amore again today?
It's like, no, this one's about this rash I've got. Yeah.
Give us another one about the moon, you fuck.
What do you got, Moon? What do you got, Moon? What do you got this time, Moon? Blue Moon? No, red Moon.
Now,
sing us a song, you werewolf bitch.
Robert Palmer is the most boring fucking man alive. When you've got someone like this that you go, okay, Robert Palmer, the guy's a goddamn rock star. Like, there's going to be some crazy stories to talk about on the podcast for Robert Palmer. I start doing Robert Palmer research. I get this. He smoked 60 cigarettes a day.
Still, he's seeing the fucking doctor every day.
Yeah.
He
heavy,
still does.
Heavy smoker.
Doctor, give me the news. No. A bad case of emphysema.
Yeah. No. Even more. I've got one more hilarious story.
Oh.
One more hilarious story about Robert Palmer.
So I just understood now. It's not a wow. It's all right. We're good for a take.
Smoker's cough. That's what it is. But they, like, the people at Genius Lyrics had to, like, go, well, it's technically on the recording. We have to write it something. What is it? Just put it as a whoa. Just
the original lyric was, Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of Winnie Blues.
Yeah. I just bought a case of Winnie Blues. So, hilarious story. He died 50,
good so far.
Yeah, 54 years old, heart attack. 26th of September 2003. That's the story.
Recommend next time if you're in a high risk category and you're seeing your doctor, let them give you the news.
Yeah. Don't shut them down.
Yeah. Don't jump in too early.
It could have really
bought
you a decade.
Yeah.
I feel like, Robert, that heart murmur, let's look into that. It's like, nah.
No, it's probably just my love for you.
Yeah,
it's
love, and I know you don't have any pills
little
for
loving.
It. No medicine here. That's honestly the only thing. Other than everything I read about him was that he was basically a boring dude that didn't live of any rock and roll excess life. He just fucking did Robert Palmer shit. Can you tell me, please?
Did Robert Palmer shit?
Why, James, does Robert Palmer grind your gears so much?
I reckon a lot of it is, this was a real, so my parents, brought me up on a strong diet of 2WS and WSFM and this was of a list of occasional obnoxious sounds on it, this was probably the most recurring. Like, do you know what? Honestly, like a lot of in the same like kind of smooth FM bracket where a lot of it's just the soundtrack to a coma and it doesn't really matter what's happening. It's just odd in the background. It's when old mate gets off his horse and goes, you're like, oh, fuck, it's this song.
Oh, no. Like, he's back.
He's unmistakable. Like he cuts through and being like, oh. Like it took me a while to work out that he actually has three songs I hate. I thought he had one song.
The trifecta. The trifecta played. Of hate. Yeah. when you're that quick just to pull Robert Palmer out, like when you get hit up for a song to do on this podcast, and it's like, well, I didn't see that one coming. Normally, you know, it's pretty sort of. It's normally, to be honest with you, we have to go through about 8 songs because we've already done them. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, we've done that. We've done that. Barbie Girl. Nah, we've done that. It's done that. And it's like, fucking Bad Case of Loving You by Robert Palmer. It's like, well, fuck, we haven't done that. Yeah.
But here's the thing, and I knew, even signing up to this, I knew I am giving myself a week of hell. Credit to Mr. Palmer. Incredibly catchy.
Oh yeah.
And it gets stuck in your head, and you can even I caught myself today just going around beer because I listened to it just to get back familiar, and then I catch myself just going, Dr.
You know what you should say from now on to people is you're just a big Moon Martin fan.
I'm on the Moon Boys.
Yeah, it's just like I do prefer Moon's version of it, but sure, if you want to,
I like his early Half Moon Robert, period.
Yeah, go for
I
it.
Preferred him when he was waxing, not waning.
Yeah.
Just some moon gear for you folks.
Now, it was produced by Robert Palmer, apparently.
Oh,
okay. There's two versions. Did you catch that?
Mate, how much research do you think I'm doing for this podcast?
Okay, so there's the album version, which is pretty tame sounding, and then they did the video version, which has like some fucking rocking drums and guitars and stuff.
Oh.
It's kind of. I think the version you would probably know is the video version.
Okay.
But there's it's kind of demo sounding one that's like the album version.
This sounded to me like when I listened to it with my headphones in, it sounds like every fucking pub rock band that used to come into my recording studio to record their opus. It sounds like this. Like, yeah, it's like. We've been working on this for 15 years, mate, and we've got to get it down. We've got to get it down. Do you still do vinyl? So I don't know. No, it's Pro Tools. I'll give you an MP3 of it at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, no, a lot of this feels like coming into the ring going, okay, here's what I want. I want to make Bad to the Bone, but worse.
Yeah. Worse to the Bone. Have you ever heard Bad to the Bone?
Yeah.
Think of that.
Let's start there and take it.
Idea.
Yeah, yeah. And then think of the moon. Yeah.
Have you heard Bad to the Bone? Well, this one's Bad for the Bone.
Yeah.
I'm recording Bad Need to Bone.
Yeah. There's lots of bone.
But don't worry, I've got
that's all I know.
I've got Mama around to help me with that.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. Tell me about the video, Bevo. Tell me about the video, mate.
All right. Hang on, let me get me all right. Hey, Bevo, yeah, hit it.
Here's the video facts from A to Z. Straight from Ryan B. It's a terrible song, and I know you agree.
Music video summary
with Bevo.
The fuck was that? Okay, you clicked it then.
No, Dan Southern.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is actually my worst video summary ever.
Great, I'm glad you saved it for James.
Okay, Mr. Palmer goes around doing cool guy shit.
Sketch comedy fans, if you like unapologetically uncensored comedy, check out Instant Microwave Fuzz, recorded every week, hot and fresh and straight out of the microwave. Unscripted jokes, uncensored guests, you're going to have a lot of outrageous improvised sketch comedy fun. You can find us on all the platforms under Instant Microwave Fuzz. Comedy made in an instant.
That's so lazy, Bevo.
It's all I got.
So lazy.
Can I get some details on what the cool guy shit would be? Is it mostly baby hunting?
You're talking to a legitimate writer here, and that's the bullshit that you fucking put out as a goddamn summary for the video. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay, cool guy shit. Well, I didn't watch
you. Can I ask you this? Yeah. You have scored the contract. You are Mr. Palmer has called you. He has ridden his horse to your door and he is saying, "I want you to make this hit." What are you recording for him?
Yeah. I probably would just say, like, let's just do some cool shit.
It's the thing, it's like it's literally a 3-minute video of him just walking around being cool and like singing a bit, and then they've gone, "Well, this isn't really sustaining a video, so we need some pretty girls just to keep interest."
That was Robert Palmer's shtick, though, wasn't it? To have the sexy ladies.
Like, it seems like what he did. It's the same one from the other video, and it might even be the same footage.
Yeah,
actually.
Oh, is it?
Possibly. I didn't watch them both, but yeah.
Hello?
It's the same, hey. Like, costumes.
Hey,
and
there we go.
Guitar.
Sorry, I lost you completely for
right.
a moment there.
You're right. Yeah. You're good. Is it the same ladies in all of his film clips?
They all look the same.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I did made look up this to up. Look the same. He has the same director for all three of these videos. So the trifecta of James's hate have all of the same director, which wasn't actually a film director. It was a fashion photographer that made the videos for him.
Mm.
So
you can tell.
How much of this is just like all this talk of him being a recluse? How much was he just a fucking shit to work with? And he's like, "No producer? Well, I'll produce it myself. No one wants to direct." Just who's around? What are we doing? Just film me and I'm going to walk down the street just doing something, and then you can go home and we'll never have to talk again.
Yeah, and you can also say that, like, he 100% refers to himself in the third person at all times. Like, all the time.
Get out of my way, I'll do it myself.
Robert Palmer is going to produce this. It's like, you're Robert Palmer. Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think you're onto something there. We've come across this with bands that we've done on the podcast before, when you look through their past band member list, and when the past band member list, like, outdoes the actual band members by 10 times, you know that they must be an absolute fucking prick to work with. Yeah.
100%.
We all know those people. We all know those people that just go like, "No, look, sure, you are funny, you are talented, whatever, but you're a fuckwit. And that's why you don't work anymore." Yeah, it happens.
Well, this is part of what I love about Palmer's story is there seems to be a massive gap. So there's this song, then a big old gap, and then like 8 years later, he comes with "Addicted to Love." He's like, "Look, I've got another doctor themed fuck song."
Was it really that?
Are any of those models?
Is it really
alive?
That long between them?
Yeah, it's
and well, they went with the exact same video 8 years later.
I swear it's the same song, "Slowed Down."
Yeah, it's so. I was like, James, I couldn't separate them. Yeah,
yeah.
He's in the studio, like, "Take out the swords. We'll put them in the other one."
It's like how fucking Chubby Checker does the twist, and then like two summers later he goes, "Let's twist again." It's like the boldest fucking move in music history, but you've got to respect it.
It's BDE. 100%. It's the original BDE.
Yeah, that's right. It is. Yeah. Let's twist again. Fucking hell. Yeah.
Imagine if fucking Aqua came out now and went, "Remember Barbie Girl?"
Yeah. This is Ken Man. Actually, we did this not too long ago with we had Nick Natoli on and we did Mumbo Number 5. If you want to do yourself a real fucking hilarious favor, go and listen to I've Got a Girl by Lou Bega. Now, I've Got a Girl was Lou Bega's follow-up to Mumbo Number 5. And they're the exact same song. Like,
it's that thing from The Simpsons. It's like, you just replaced do's with D's.
Like, it's not even it's to the point where you think he's taking the piss. Like, you go, this is a joke, right? It's like, bump, 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 bump. And it's like, I've got a girl. And you're like, Jesus Christ, Lou.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. All right.
Is her name Monica by any chance?
Let me guess where you're going with it. You're going to go, yeah! That's it.
I have a YouTube comment. Can I read?
Oh, go, please.
This is from Beans 3 years ago. This is Beans. Some magic shit.
Right. All right.
Beans. I've finally found it. This song has been stuck in my head for months, even though I've never listened to it. It's as good as I imagined.
What? So that Beans, is magic.
Beans has imagined this song before he's even heard it.
Jesus and Christ.
His imagination is as good as the song.
Psychiatrist, give me the news.
Do you think, like, he is going to a psychiatrist? They put him under, like, under some hypnotic state, and then she just plays Robert Palmer to him while he's asleep? It's like, wakes up, it's like, I've been looking. How many fucking times do we come across this, Bevo, where someone has been searching for a song for years? Like, years. It's like,
it's in every fuck, comment
he
section.
He says, doctor. Like, yeah.
What do you want?
I'm sure. Yeah, remember, if you put in, we figured this out for one of the Veronica's songs. What one did we do, Bevo?
Untouched.
Untouched by the Veronicas. That if you just type in goth girls sing.
Goth twins, yeah.
You get Untouched by the Veronicas.
If you type in that hipster whistling song into Google, you get that you know that one?
Yeah, right. Okay,
I hate that song so much.
Bevo, as much as James hates fucking Robert Palmer, Bevo hates whistling in songs.
Hates whistling.
No, nope, I'm with you with there.
Yeah,
out of tune whistling is just
imagine cruel. If Robert had whistled. Jesus, the world might have ended.
He would have a bad case or something.
Yeah, do you have a Robert Palmer set list, Bevo?
I do. It's another one of those things where Robert Palmer has a lot of set lists in setlist.fm, but this was the first one I could find that was actually populated with songs. So it just means that no one cared enough to
I have
write
no what idea they- what he's singing. Yeah.
He was there.
Yeah.
But this
they
is,
said it was him.
This is September 15th, 1999 at the Mardi Gras in Indianapolis.
I can't imagine that an Indianapolis Mardi Gras is really going off.
I think you're spot on there. It's not known for its civil liberties and free thought towards the gay and lesbian and whatever else community, that's for sure. Yeah. It's like they've got the cults, they've got the paces, and
yeah,
not Mardi Gras.
Genuinely, I reckon the Bathurst Mardi Gras would actually go off more than the Indianapolis.
Probably.
Mardi Gras.
I think you're spot on there. But Robert Palmer showed up to it.
Owned by the NRA.
Yeah. Just firing guns off into the air.
okay, right. So we got there's 18 songs in the set list, including all your favorites.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out, you guys are taking the role of Robert Palmer writing the set list for this particular night, and you get to decide where you would be playing Bad Case of Loving You, Doctor.
Okay. I'm going to say songs. Is it like an encore thing, or is it just the 18
doesn't say,
songs?
So let's assume it's just straight through.
All right. I'm going to go, I reckon, like, in the middle somewhere, like, ninth.
I reckon you've got to... So, look, you start with it and you hold Addicted to Love for the last song. So
you
you've got,
to,
like, a
you?
Little... You've got to bookend the thing, like...
Yeah, yeah. Like,
do you want to know what happens with that story? Well, stick around and I'll tell you.
It's my battle with... It's my battle with addiction.
Yeah. Mad Dog, what do you reckon?
Yeah. I agree. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think 11th.
Okay. He of the 18 songs, he plays it 15th. But check out this little run of songs at the end. So 14th song, Simply Irresistible. 15th song, Bad Case of Loving You. 16th song, Addicted to Love. So all his hits all bottom heavy at the
smash
end.
Smash me out. Yeah.
Jesus.
And then what's 17, 18?
17th, a song called 20 Million Things, which is a Lowell George cover, and the 18th song is a song called Pride, but doesn't look like it's U2's version of Pride.
No, I think they might. That might have just been the Mardi Gras thing. Yeah.
Just the fanfare.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being at a Robert Palmer concert and being 12 songs in and the 13th song starts and it's still not one of his hits?
You'd be like, I think we can beat the traffic, love, if we get out of here now.
No, it's I really want to hear Simply Irresistible.
This is like when this is the time I went and saw Bob Dylan. I went and saw Bob Dylan play, and I had no idea what fucking songs he was playing at all. Even he started playing Like a Rolling Stone, and it took me 4 minutes to figure out he was playing like a Rolling Stone.
4 minutes in the car on the way home to go, oh.
I heard a faint organ piece and went, wait, I think he's playing a song I know. It's just like he's one of those pricks that pulls anything out and just goes, I'm not playing anything you want to hear. Yeah.
Did you see that recent, I think it was the Hard Times article where it was like Bob Dylan accidentally covers his own song.
Yeah, that shit's gold.
You will right, sit here and a you bit will of fucking here. Listen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm Bob Dylan.
That's
I'm
right.
Robert Palmer. So Bob in Palmer's Palmer. In Palmer's home country of the United Kingdom, the song debuted and peaked at 61 on the UK singles charts in 1979. The version That's became more successful in other countries. In the United States, Palmer version reached 14 on the Billboard Hot 100, 10 on the Cashbox Top 100, whatever the fuck that is. Sounds what? Like you pay for it.
No, it's like one of those shows that you watch late at night where someone's in a box and just
late night with money. Late night with hot dogs. Yeah, exactly. Fuck, hot dogs is my dream guest. Sorry, James, but you know.
No, please, hot dogs is my dream guest.
Okay, good.
That was the job I was aiming for. Like, I want to be head writer to bring back late night with hot dogs.
Late night with hot dogs. I'd want to see you go into like Channel 10 and pitch it. But can you just film that for me and put that on your Instagram? Like, put it on IGTV. Here's my pitch for late night with hot dogs. They're like, you'd have executives going, wait, are you talking about the food hot dogs? Or who the fuck are you talking about?
This is a cooking show and a game show.
Okay.
You know hot dogs, nine-time NBA champion. Show.
Hot dogs. it did go to number one in Canada. So that's something. There you go. That's something. Now, Robert Palmer's net worth at the time of his death, what would you put that at if you had to guess, Mad Dog?
£20 million.
Okay. Bevo?
I'm going to say $20 million because that's his song that he played second last.
He wrote that song after he made $20 million. I'm inspired. James, what do you reckon what do you put his net worth at?
I reckon $20 million is a good start, but then you have to buy three packs of cigarettes a day
minus that off.
I reckon he's got about $600.
Yeah. He might owe money.
Died a pauper.
He died with $10 million.
Oh, okay.
$10 million.
Can't take it with you.
I thought that was low.
Yeah.
Yeah, three hits on high rotation.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's just because he dropped fairly early. Like, you give him, if he was still going now, because the song's certainly still on the fucking air.
Yeah,
like,
he's getting that that big RSL money.
Yeah, exactly.
My
God, can I tell you a quick story?
Please do.
So I was living down in Melbourne during the long lockdown there, and when the pubs finally reopened again, our place overlooks a pub and it's got a Sunday session, and it was like really nice the first time, you know, pubs were back and you got to hear someone playing a set on the Sunday session, and they opened with Dragons Are You Old Enough?
Like, fucking hell.
You have waited 4 months to go for this.
Are you old enough?
Like, ooh, whoa.
It's like, oh, I wish I was locked down again. Yeah.
Put me back in.
That's
you
so disappointing.
Should be locked up if that's what you're playing.
Yeah, it's like, come on, you had so long to think about it. It sounds like they overthought it. That's the problem.
They were like, what would the last song they're expecting to hear be?
Yeah. They should open with Thrift Shop. Yeah. All right. Let's rate this shit.
Motherfuckers, this is it. It's time to rate this shit.
What are we going to rate it out of? What do you reckon, Bevo? What can we what can we rate this out of?
Horse whinnies, I think.
How many?
Studio ghosts.
How about cigarettes? See any like them?
Oh.
Okay, so how many decks of cigarettes could you smoke in an hour? 10, 10 being enough to kill you instantly, and one deck being that you're basically, you're physically ill and should probably go to the doctors, but you'll live. So 10 is that basically it makes you want to die. 10 is the worst you can give this. 1 is the best. 1, you love it. 10, you hate it. What do you give this out of 10, Bevo?
I think it's kind of cool. 3.
Well, my job as a salesman is done.
Yeah. Mad Dog, what do you give it out of 10, mate?
Yeah, in terms of ciggies, Jesus. Yeah, I agree with Bevo. Like, when I learnt this was a song, I'm like, this is fucking one for sure. But when I actually delved in these lyrics, it's absolute rubbish. So 3 as well.
Yeah. You're giving the 3 as well?
3 as well.
Oh, James, hit me, mate. What do you give it, mate?
I'm taking 9 and I'm keeping the 10th in my pocket ready to go just in case Simply Irresistible starts.
Okay, the trilogy. It's good.
You can't go hard.
No, you got it. It's good to hold your 10 because it's a strong score. All right, 9. I'm going to give it a I'm going to be honest. I thought I liked this song. Like, when it came up, I was like, oh, hey, no, it's never stopped me shitting on something for an hour before.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just like, no, I know that one. It's good. And then I actually put it on and listened to it, and then I read the lyrics, and it was like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good at all.
Yeah, that's what turned my 1 to a 3, but it was still good enough to...
Can I tell you something? So this is a real grower of a hate, so next time I come back, I want to get these ratings again, and we're going to see how they go.
I've never done that before.
That's good.
The score audit.
A score audit. Maybe you should do that.
You are going to hear this fucking 9 times. I don't care if I'm on next week. You are going to hear it 9 times.
I'm looking forward to the Crazy Frog audit we'll do at the 1001 1001st song. Yeah.
Hey, what are your thoughts on the Crazy Frog, James? Are you a big
Firstly, not a frog. Yeah. Secondly, why is his dick out?
Yeah, well, you know.
You pretty
he's
much
crazy.
Summed up the episode.
Yeah. He's crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, and thirdly, I'm tired of this frog ableism that's happening. If this frog is unwell, can we get this frog some help?
Yeah.
Mental health support for frogs.
Yeah, I want an Are You Okay Day for this frog.
Yeah. Where's ScoMo's mental health package for the frog, hey?
Stimulus.
Yeah. He needs his 10 free psychology appointments.
Needs his little wanger. Yeah. His little wanger needs stimulus.
Just like the indecent exposure's enough.
Oh, the poor fuck thinks he's on a motorcycle. He's on air. What is...
To be fair, I have seen someone in King's Cross doing the exact same thing. Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 6.5 because I think I did start very low, and the more I listened to it a few times and then read the lyrics and went, no, it's more shit. It's more shit than it is good. So it's on that side of 5, and I would like to audit it later on. So next time you're back, James, let's do that. Let's figure that out.
This is going to – if anyone can say the Venga bus is annoying, it takes it takes some effort to go in and be like, by the way, you've never liked Robert Palmer.
Yeah. We did come to this conclusion once where we did – was it – what Katy Perry song did we do, Bevo? Was it
– Oh, it was Friday Night, Last Friday Night.
Last Friday Night by Katy Perry. And this is one that we all at first went – it got requested a lot, so we're like, we'll do it. But, you know, that's an all right song. That's pretty good. And then when we all actually started doing it, we realized this is quite possibly the biggest pile of shit that's ever been put down on tape ever. We all ended up giving it – it got a perfect score, didn't it? We all gave it 10s.
One of the first perfect 10s that we got.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of the first perfect 10s. And that came out of nowhere.
I'm not sure because, like, even trying to remember the song now, I'm like, oh, that's pretty fun. I can hear the da-da-da-da-da, but I don't know anything beyond exactly that moment, and I presume all the rest of it is horrifying.
Yeah, when you break it down.
Listen to the episode. We've been there. We've done
it. Yeah. It's worth a listen for sure. Okay. We're fucking done here. Thank you so much for coming on, James. Really appreciate
Thanks for having
it.
Me.
Let's definitely do it again because I want to knock this trilogy out. It's Robert
Absolutely.
Palmer trilogy.
I'm always here to stick the sheath sword into Robert Palmer.
Yeah, I'm just going to send you like simply irresistible like themed memes from now on just to roll you up every morning. Yeah. Tell people where they should follow you, do whatever, plug away.
Yeah,
mute your phone first because you did come back.
That's a very good option.
Yeah, there you go.
Beautiful.
Turn,
all right.
Turn the fuck down.
Now sorry the plug.
You're right.
You can find me on Twitter at JamColly, or your lovingly taxpayer-funded dollars are going to a lot of programming 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays, just about any time of the year you tune into the ABC. So please check that
it's
out.
Just like, yeah, that's right. You do seem to be all over it. All over it.
It's that time slot. I think there's two shows I don't work on in it, so you know I won't tell you which ones and just shuffle around.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. That's it. All right, everybody, go and get fucked. Fuck off.
Yep.
Only yay. If you want to.
Hi everyone, it's Dan here from 1001 Songs That Make You Want to Die. I'm here today to let you know that our podcast is now available on Patreon. That's right, for as little as $2 a month, you can now support this podcast rather than listen to it for free, effectively stealing the food out of the mouths of our starving children. There's one of them now. So why not join us on Patreon? You get bonus stuff each month, and you can even be a guest on the podcast if you want. Now, doesn't that sound better than making our poor children starve? Oh, kids are great, aren't they? Anyway, on with today's episode.